being greater than the greatest, spiritual infinity is also smaller than the smallest, and it can equally express itself through happenings, irrespective of whether they are outwardly small or great. Thus, a smile or a look stands on the same level as offering one's life for a cause, when the smile or the look springs from truth consciousness. There are no gradations in spiritual importance when all life is lived in the shadow of eternity. If life were to consist only of big things, and if all the little things were to be omitted from its scope, it would not only be finite, but would be extremely poor. The infinite truth, which is latent in everything, can reveal itself only when life is seen and accepted in its totality. Limitation comes into existence owing to ego-centered desires and self-will. Possessiveness, in all its forms, leads to a life of limitation. For example, if one covets the love of someone and instead of winning the love of that person loses it to another, there ensues a narrowing down and strangling of the free life of the spirit, and one has an acute consciousness of limitation. This is the origin of the pain of suffocating jealousy. But if one looks at the situation with a heart purged of longing, the love which is received by the other will be seen in its natural beauty and in the clarity of perception which comes through non-possessiveness. One will not only taste of the freedom of non-duality, but also of its joy. When someone else receives that love, it is like one's self receiving it, since no longer does one insist upon the claim of a single form, having identified oneself with life in all its forms. That's a kind of a hard one to grow into, isn't it? Yeah. I think Baba has so many ways of really bringing this difficult lesson to us. One, for example, is to teach us to love another individual without wanting anything from the other individual, and to discover that one is with the other person in spirit. This helped me a great deal as a result of a letter I received from Baba, in which he said, "Those who are united in love are always in spirit and no separation." And through love, which asks for nothing, one finds a pure and a free kind of love, which actually is its own fulfillment. Love which does not ask for anything is its own fulfillment, and one may discover, if one is perceptive, that one at that level is already united with the other at the level of the spirit. As Baba said, those who are united in love are always in spirit and know no separation. We do have to learn this lesson, and it can apply to not just one other person, but can go in many directions, many, many, and eventually include all of humanity. But it's a difficult lesson, and Baba has gone into greater depth in describing all this in his discourse on love. In non-duality, there is freedom from limitation. Now, what does he mean by non-duality? It may be a new term for some here. But duality is where our consciousness is at play most of the time. Gain and loss, beginning and end, pleasant and unpleasant, and we could go on and on and on. And this is where our consciousness is caught, swinging from one extreme to the other at the dual level. And we even try to find truth and lasting happiness in this level of duality, and we never succeed because it isn't there. And Nirvana has explained to us clearly, for those who have to have it explained intellectually in order to dare to step out farther away from the self, that we do have to, at long last, through growth and maturity, rise above the tyranny and the domination of the opposites, rise into the freedom of the spirit, where we are free of this kind of domination. This is the thing that he has come to bring to us. One time in India, this feeling was so prevalent that I had to capture something of it in writing. This may be a little bit difficult for some to understand, but if you don't understand it, just put it aside. I wrote this down on September 23rd, 1954, at Meher Retreat in Ahmedabad, India. And it just somehow seemed to capture the feeling that one got there around Baba. And this is it. Does everything function? The opposites, the gains and losses, the beginnings and endings, and all the opposites. Let them function automatically. Don't interfere. Just observe and rise as you let go of one after the other, of the necessary functions of the dual realm. Cease striving to mold the functioning elements of your aspect of the dual realm into truth. You will only achieve another crystallization of one of the opposites in that realm. What you seek, what you are, is not in that realm. So let it function only to give you consciousness in that realm and be detached. In the dual realm, we do and must struggle with contrasting values. In this realm, we must adhere to the karmic laws and strive to improve our character, to purify and live in accordance with our ideals. This we will always continue to do. Beyond the dual realm, however, the same values do not hold true. One cannot escape the vortex of the dual realm while clinging to it. It is not a matter of perfecting oneself in the dual realm. It is a matter of escaping the bondage of identifying oneself in that realm at all. Escape from the dual realm means a new rate of vibration, a new perspective of value, a new sense of dissociation from the necessary functioning elements of the dual realm. Why strive to become something in the dual realm when you have to let the whole realm go? It functions, let it function, and be free. And this sort of crazy little poem that may amuse you. Dance for joy in the meaningless array, for all is void in the sight of God. Cease thy struggles with the coils of illusion. Let it go unchallenged, unclaimed, and smile with God. For all is a trick, a joke which never was. Be not deceived by the enchantment of a distant freedom. O ye who were never bound, laugh the trammels of fire. That was it.
You do that all the time.
Did you write that one? Do you,
on occasion, have you in years gone by, been getting this writing first class this one?
I may have a few more.
In other words, you have compiled evidently a collection of writing on your own behalf, right? From time to time refer to and then read out, right?
Well, let's get back to the Baba. So much for your little thought on what duality is. In non-duality, there is freedom from limitation. It means individual freedom. We get free inwardly from all limitations, from let go of duality. We can't do that by ourselves. We need the help of someone like Meher Baba, love and his grace, and to hold on to his guide or his hand, and to finally take our stand upon truth rather than duality, and live from the truth rather than the values of duality. So in non-duality, there is freedom from limitation, and the knowledge and appreciation of things as they are. In non-duality alone is there the realization of true spiritual infinity that secures abiding and unfading bliss. The limitation of jealousy is, like all other limitations, such as anger, hate, and craving, they are all one's own creation. All finitehood and limitation is subjective and self-created. We have created the limitations within ourselves, and we think that life is made. It is only we who have made those limitations, and we can throw them off.
You know, I had a thought one time while thinking about duality, that you know, for this analogy, I'm sure we've all sat in uncomfortable chairs, and so you begin to shift. You're on one point, but after a while, the place you shifted that gave you relief becomes uncomfortable, and you shift back. The only way to really remedy the situation is actually, there's nothing you can do in the chair, any position where you're sitting over there, you become uncomfortable. The only thing to really do is stand up.
But you see, heretofore in the past, we didn't know that we could step out of duality. And we might have been imagining all sorts of things and maybe taking a risk and getting into trouble. But now we know that this is normal. We can step out of duality with this mind. And we're meant to sooner or later. So, we stand up to that. All finitehood and limitation is subjective and self-created. With the surrenderance of self-will and ego-centered imagination, there arises a true perception of the infinite worth of that which is. When the infinity of the truth is adequately grasped from the point of view of non-duality, it also becomes fruitful for the adequate solution of social problems based on duality as an irreducible fact. Mere manipulation of numbers, however clever, can neither yield right adjustment between the individual and society, nor can it yield true harmony between various groups which come to exist within universal society. If social claims of a general nature are determined by the considerations of a small minority, the interests of the vast majority remain unreconciled, and the majority remains inevitably in rivalry and opposition to the minority. On the other hand, in democratic countries, the claims of a general nature are determined by consideration of majority viewpoint rather than by the minority. This point of view, however, is still within the domain of duality, where the many exist, and therefore the problem of minorities remains unsolved. Since their interests remain unreconciled, the minority remains inevitably in rivalry and opposition to the majority. As long as a social problem is dominated by the idea of numbers and multiplicity, there is no lasting solution for it. The lasting solution can come only when it is illuminated by the truth of the indivisible totality and intrinsic unity of all. The one in all cannot be contacted through the multiplication of the many, but only by shedding the false idea of the many. Any number, however great, is bound to be finite. Spiritual infinity is not a number, however great. It is the sole reality without a rival. Where there are many, there is necessarily comparison between them. There is a smaller and a greater, a hierarchy of claims, privileges, and rights, and all valuation gets twisted by the recognition of gradations of different types. From the spiritual point of view, all these are forms of false consciousness, because the same truth vibrates in everyone. The similarity which is experienced in realization, however, is necessarily from the principle of equality, that is, that one person is equal to any other single person in respect to claims, rights, and worth, but can never be equal within duality to two or more persons. On the other hand, the spiritual infinity of the truth has room for the paradox that one person can be regarded as the totality itself. Therefore, one person is not only capable of being looked upon as equal in importance to two or more persons, but even as equal to all.